ויהי ביום השמיני קרא משה לאהרון
ולזקני ישראל.
So it was on the eighth day that Moshe called to Aaron, to his sons, and to the Zikanim of Bnei Israel.
On the eighth day. The eighth day of what? Anybody? This week's parasha.
It's called Shemini. Eighth. The eighth day of what? Say it again?
The eighth day of the wedding is our transferring the Mishkan. Okay, good.
So Ibn Ezra actually writes that this is the eighth day of Nisan. The eighth day of the year, according to the Torah. If the year starts on Chodesh Nisan, then 8 days later, it is the eighth day, plain and simple. But as Moshe correctly said, most of our Rishonim don't understand it that way. The eighth day, according to most of our Rishonim, is the day after the 7 days. Anybody know what these 7 days were called? The Sheva Yemei. The Sheva Yemei. Huh? The 7 days, Miluim. The 7 days of what we might call sequestration. There were 7 days described at the end of last week's parsha, in which the Aaron and his sons, the Kohanim, literally had a lock-in. A 7-day priestly lock-in. In the Mishkan, they were stuck there, could do nothing else. 7 days, 7 nights in the Mishkan
prior to the opening of the Mishkan. And so Vayehi Bayom HaShmini, and it was on the eighth day of what?
Meaning the day after the 7 days of the Miluim were finished, the 7 days of the Kohanim being locked into the Mishkan were finished. On that eighth day, they opened up the doors, the Shechina, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, came and rested on the Mishkan. That was the eighth day. The question is, why? Why did the Kohanim have to be locked in to the Mishkan for 7 days prior to the opening of its doors? What was the purpose of the 7 days, and why does our parsha begin by emphasizing this is the eighth day, the day after this momentous event? So Rav Hirsch has a beautiful idea that he describes from the beginning of this week's parsha that's worth thinking about in Kol HaTorah Kuv. Rav Hirsch writes that any time in the Torah that we have the number eight, it comes to suggest a return to a beginning, but in an elevated state. That seven represents a complete cycle. 7 days a week, 7 years in the Shemitah cycle. Eight is not just what comes after seven, it's a return to the beginning, but an elevated state. Is it the best way to think about eight in the Torah? Is thinking about the keyboard of a piano. So eight in the Torah is like eight of an octave. You begin with C, and you move up seven whole notes. And where do you get to? C, right? But it's a different C. It's an elevated C. It's the same note, it's a return to the beginning, but an elevated state. And so since Rav Hirsch, the Kohanim began their journey as private Ovdei Hashem, as people who were worshiping God alone, locked into the Mishkan. And then after 7 days, on the eighth day, they begin again a new status of Ovdei Hashem, of servants of God, but this time in an elevated state of public Ovdei Hashem. Because now the doors are opened coming in, they begin again, but in an elevated state. It's a beautiful idea, but it still doesn't answer the question. Why?
What do they need this first 7 days, this first status of private Odei Hashem before opening the Mishkan to everybody else? Why lock them up? And I'll make the question even stronger. When Moshe gives the description, of these 7 days, the 70 Yemei Miluim, he says as follows, take all the things you're going to need for this locking. Take all the ingredients you need. Take all the tools that you need. And then gather up all the people. Not the Kohanim. Everybody else. This lock-in,
it was a spectator sport. All the Jewish people were gathered around
in circle of Mishkan as the Kohanim locked themselves inside for the next 7 days.
Watch it. Why? For what?
So you guys know, we've heard me talk before, our seniors were kind enough to remind us in the spiel yesterday, that modern orthodoxy is something that is near and dear to my own heart. Modern orthodoxy not as a term that describes a group of people, but modern orthodoxy that describes a group of ideas. Modern orthodoxy as applied to a group of people can often be a divisive notion, something that separates Jews from other Jews. Modern orthodoxy, though, as applied to a set of ideas, is a way of us connecting to certain authentic total values that we find particularly relevant in our own lives, that we feel empowered to do perhaps better than others, and that to me is a very positive, very, very beneficial way. Looking at the world. But like all ideas and ideologies, modern orthodoxy comes with its limits and its limitations, and particularly because so many of its ideas are often nuanced, I think they're often misunderstood and often misapplied. I want to give you one example. Central to the ideas of modern orthodoxy is the notion of engagement. It's a notion that we do not fill bubbles around ourselves, but rather we are out there engaging the world around us. We're out there engaging the ideas around us. We study general studies alongside with our Judaic studies, not just because it's going to get us into college and get us a job, but because we believe we're mandated to. Because we believe that engagement between the world of Torah and the world around us is what God wants from us. And we do it in our social lives, our personal lives as well. We engage with the communities around us, with people around us who are different than us. We talk to them. We listen to them. We learn from them. We hope they learn from us. That's central and core to what it means to be modern Orthodox. And yet, it poses a challenge. Because all too often when we're raised with that idea and that ideal, we're so gung-ho and ready to go. We want to get out there, we want to engage, we want to talk, we want to hear, we want to listen. And what we've forgotten to do is to build ourselves first. We want to engage and hear what other people have to say, and then we find ourselves somewhat lacking in our own ability to say anything back. Sometimes it's critical to take a first step by working on ourselves, immersing ourselves, strengthening ourselves, so that we can have the conversation. So that I know
yourself inadequately prepared to follow through.
Remember when I was in yeshiva, that's the way the Shevi Yemei Miluim was described to us. At the Shevi Yemei Miluim, those 7 days of sequestration in the Mishkan, was about the Kohanim working on themselves first.
First develop yourselves. First look inwards. First make yourselves into the people that you can be. And they open the doors. Because you'll be so much better prepared to service the rest of Klal Yisrael. To engage with them. If you've made something out of yourself first. And maybe 7 days, or maybe 7 months, or maybe 7 years. But the critical idea is that even in the modern Orthodox world, or perhaps specifically in the modern Orthodox world, where the idea of engagement is so critical, we have to take that time first, build ourselves, know who we are, so that we can then go and share it with other people. And perhaps that's why all of the people were gathered around to watch this. Perhaps what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us was that this is not something limited just to the Kohanim. This is a lesson for everyone. This is a lesson for a people who are mandated to be among the Kohanim. You're all supposed to be priests. So listen up. This is how you do it. You first got to take time for yourself. You first got to build yourself up. You first got to close the doors and figure out who you are, and then open them and service others. Perhaps the lesson of the Sheva Yemei Miluim and the Yom HaShemini is that first you got to build the candle, and then you light it and shine it for others. Have a good Shabbos.